here in this service. It's good to have all of our visitors, all the home folks, and folks we've not seen in a while. We're glad you're here. Thankful that you've made your way to be in service with us out at CAPS today. I count it an honor to stand behind this pulpit on a Sunday or a Wednesday with the Frank and present the gospel to you folks that come out here to worship the Lord with us. I count it a great honor that you've come out our way to be with us and to worship the Lord on this Sunday. Thank you for coming. I have got a message this morning that I have, again, you think I would learn, tried to change and can't change. So we're going to preach it this morning. Hebrews. Brother Eldon sung a song about what all is not going to be in heaven. All truth. No graves, no sorrow, no tears, and many, many things. The list goes on what's not going to be there. And I want to tell you what else is not going to be there. Those that's not born again. Not only the sorrows won't be there. Not only the pressures of life that we deal with today. If our name's not written, it's not going to be there. We're not going to be there either. Praise God. As I said, tried to change this message and haven't got it done. Hebrews chapter 2, if you would stand with us. Hebrews chapter 2. I found some encouraging words that I'll touch on a little later for the preacher. As we stand behind this pulpit, and I don't count it as something very lightly that I'm doing here today. This is not a career that I'm here. I'm here because of a call, Brother Danny. For some reason, God called me to preach. Sometimes we can't look and it doesn't always mean figure out why we're here. But we're here for a reason. That's to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I've got something to tell you this morning in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed of the things which we have heard, lest at any time they should slip, we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, a reward. Verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Let's pray. Father, today, thank You for this service. Lord, I pray a special move upon the remainder of this service today. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings and times You've heard and answered our prayers. And Lord, we just thank You today for all the songs and the teachers that have given forth Your word this morning, Lord. And we just praise You for this opportunity. Lord, we pray that You bind the powers of darkness that would try to engulf our minds in this service. Lord, loose my mind that I would have a clear mind towards what You want to be said today. Lord, anoint my lips that I might say what You want said in this service, and not only that we be hearers but doers of Your word this morning. Lord, I want to praise You for it, and I want to thank You for it in Your precious holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. The directions that the Lord will probably lead me today, I often don't maybe know exactly what all was going to be the directions, but there's one important thing in our life, and that is our salvation. And there's no way to heaven. Someone made something, a comment this morning about Jesus. There is no other way to heaven except through Christ's blood. How many would agree with me this morning? We find today that the world will tell us there are many ways to heaven. Be good, be nice. Some folks feel like heaven is on this earth. And that's going to be a rude awakening someday for those folks that might believe that. But he said today in this scripture here, Paul, we assume it was Paul was talking to the Hebrews, and he said it's time that you be a little bit concerned about what you've heard. And folks, I believe today that we can stand behind this pulpit and say it's time that we be concerned about what we have heard. And you say, I don't understand, preacher. I would be safe in saying there's not a one of us here today that's not heard the salvation plan or heard about the gospel or heard that Christ gave his life's blood. I would be safe to say none of us here has not heard that in the past. Anybody want to agree with that? I would say that there's probably all of us here have understood that Christ is our salvation, and we have to understand that he is the only way to heaven. He said here, take the more earnest heed that the things which you've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But preacher, I feel like that there's nothing that we can do that can cause us to allow things to slip. Well, for some reason, Paul decided, and by the anointing of God, that there need to be something brought to the Hebrews' attention that they should be careful in what they do and how they conduct their lives on what they have heard about the salvation of Christ. Now, today, we find ourselves, and I'm going to stop and kind of insert here just a little bit, real quickly. Our Sister Mildred and Brother Wesley's precious granddaughter presented the gospel last Sunday night for those that were able to go. I said again last week, I think she pulled about half my congregation, but that's all right. Amen. She'd have pulled this one if I'd have had things planned where I could have went. But she presented the gospel, and I wanted to tell her sometime, and I want to get a chance to talk with her about being a minister. And the minister preaching the gospel is not always the same. It's not always the same. Uncle Charles, my mother-in-law's brother that pastored and preached for years, wonderful preacher, he told me some great advice when I started to preach. He said, Brother Eddie, he said, there'll come times in your preaching that you can't get the word spoken quick enough. And he said, then there'll come times that you'll have to push every word out with your tongue. And he was exactly right. But the truth is, God's word's not changed no matter how I feel. Now, I love to shout, and I love to feel the presence of God, but I want to tell you something, church. We got to realize one thing. We need to take some earnest heed here about what's going on in our life. What about our salvation? I begin to stop and think and kind of oversee and think about some of my life and how I've been. You know, I've been preaching, pastoring here for, I think, 8 years or something along that line. You know, and truth of the matter is, Brother Frank, I ought to be gaining some ground spiritually. And I stop and think about that, and I look, and I'll just be honest with you. I'm looking and I'm thinking, Sister Ruth, I need to gain some more ground. I believe I need to move up a little closer than where I've been. He said, take the more earnest heed of what you've heard. He said, lest things should slip from you. You know what the easiest thing you'll do in your life is back up on God. Hello? I got a feeling this is going to be one of the messages that we'll push it out with our tongue. That's all right. God said, preach it. Neglect. I want to give you the definition of neglect. I believe some of us fall in this condition right here this morning. He said, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I'm going to stop just a minute and ask you this morning, what's important in your life? What's important in your life? There's some folks that if they was to go home and lose everything they had, they wouldn't come back to church. You know why? Because they'd blame God. There's some of us that might be in a position, if someone does us wrong or says something to us, we may stay mad for a while. God help us. There's some that is basing love on how somebody treats them. God's love is unconditional. You can be mean and ugly, and he still loves you. You can be hateful and snotty, and he still loves you. But you better pray through. If you're a Christian, I'll push that word out again. We better pray through if we're born again. Now, how can we neglect so great a salvation? And how can we escape if we neglect this salvation? What is neglect? Neglect is something that we make a choice by. Neglect, according to Webster, is to ignore or disregard. Just ignore it and disregard it. A failure to carry out through carelessness. My, do I ever fit that category. Also, by intention. In other words, I can intentionally neglect my family. Can I intentionally neglect so great a salvation? If this could not slip from us, why did Paul say this? You know why he said it? Because the Word says, I'm going to just have to get into this, really, this morning. I'm going to enjoy this, whether the devil likes it or not, because I'm giving you what God gave me this morning. And I've even got some good news about that. Let's look over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It gets even better, folks. He said here in verse 7, said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, at whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his self flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now be not weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So what's that mean to me? Whether I feel like it or not, keep sowing the right seed. Now can I get really technical here with you? You're not going to sow corn and reap green beans. I put out some seeds of corn. Now, would you believe it? I had some corn come up. Amazing, isn't it? He said, "Be not deceived. God's not mocked. We have saw ministers," and I want to stand here with my hands, both hands raised, I can be in the same condition. We've saw ministers stand behind the pulpit and live one life behind the pulpit and another life out there. Now, I can say that's not gossip. That's the truth, is it not? We've saw that happen. We've heard that happen. And what has happened? He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." If I was to decide to live a lifestyle like that and present to you one way on Sunday and act another way on Monday, I will somewhere, somehow, sometime, I will come in contact with a God that will let me know where I stand and what I am doing. How many knows that this morning? He said, if you sow under the flesh, you will reap under the flesh. But if you will begin to sow spiritually, you will receive spiritual things. The problem is today, amen, and it starts even behind the pulpit. It's all about money. It's all about you blessing them. Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. It's not what you can do for me. It's what I can do for you. I'm a servant to you. I wasn't called here to receive money and take things and you to pat me on the back. God called me to stand behind this pulpit and tell you the uncompromised word of God. Then it becomes your position to realize one thing. You're either going to accept what God says or you're going to reject it. Neglect, how shall we escape if we would neglect such a great salvation? How in the world do we expect to make heaven if we neglect salvation? I'm beginning to feel like preaching a little bit now. You see what happens sometimes? You don't want to push past the resistance. You want to go when things feel good. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, church, hey, when you find your families and there's a devil out there trying to steal, to kill and destroy your families, how many knows that? I get so mad, fleshly and carnal, when I see what the devil's doing. But then I stop and I think about mankind. I think about our families. Church, I want to tell you something. It's not the devil. It's us that's surrendering into his powers, into his seducing powers. It's not him. But listen to me. He can't make you do one thing if you don't allow it. Oh, the devil made me do it. Hogwash, he didn't do it at all. You and I surrendered to flesh and carnality, and we decided to fill our lustful flesh, and therefore sin was conceived, and therefore death will be coming after that. Whew. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Folks look around, they find themselves in disarray and discord, and I want to tell you something. I'm no genius and I'm no scholar, but I want to tell you this, church. It doesn't matter. You can look around and see why in the world is this happening. It's because we've been deceived to believe we can believe a lie and be damned. I've sat back and I might as well call black, black, and white, white. I can stand behind this pulpit and I'm amazed at what people can do and still believe they're all right with God, church. It's not going to make it. This song says there's going to be no more earthquakes and things along that line in heaven. I won't tell you, there won't be no sin there either.
Be not deceived. God's not mocked. If you could get somewhere and make some kind of connection with King David and ask him about what sin will do for him and his family, I'm sure he'd tell you one thing. Stop it now! He found himself slipping. Praise God. He found himself looking over to the neighbor's house for the Frank, and he saw Bathsheba over there, amen, taking a bath, and nudity was no doubt a part of it. David was being seduced by the powers of darkness. If David had been about his business and realized one thing, sin will bring death to not only him, but to his family. And I'm here to tell you this morning, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? If we ignore what God says, how can we make heaven? You say, preacher, I'm getting tired of you browbeating me. I'm getting tired. This is one thing I hear. Folks don't want to hear what's wrong. Don't want to hear it, Brother Wendell. Our young generation today, they don't want you to correct them. They don't want you to say no. They think no is an ungodly word or something. It's a word that's not in their vocabulary. Is that right, Sister Martha? They don't want to hear no. They don't want to have a parent say, don't you do that. They want to do what they want to do and be free. Folks, we can be free down here and split hell wide open. It's not what we can't do. It's what we can do. I want to tell you something. The cans outweigh the cannots. You say, well, I can't do this. And young people say, I can't do that. The preacher tells me I'm wrong. He tells me this and he tells me that. The preacher's telling you that how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How can we make heaven if we willfully choose to go the wrong direction? As I said, I'm going to push these words out with my tongue. And you say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm really going to get out some water here. I'm going to proclaim something to you. You're in a saved condition. Anybody with me? The blood's applied. I'm in a saved condition. Paul said, take to more earnest heed what you've heard, unless sometime it should slip from you. What's that mean to me? Does that mean that because of grace I can sin? I can show you in Romans where it says, God forbid. Just because I've got the blood applied does not give me a license to sin. Neglect is to ignore. To ignore and disregard. A failure to carry out through and by intentions. Brother Jimmy Swaggart, I can surely talk about us Pentecostal preachers. Brother Jimmy Swaggart found himself in a weak spot. And we'll tell you something. I haven't talked to him and haven't read any of his books as of late, but I would just be safe in saying that he could tell you the weakness that he had with the promiscuous lifestyle. I would be safe in saying, listen to me, young person, I would be safe in saying that there was some type of sin that he committed when he was young. I'm really getting out here now. You know. Does that mean you can't overcome if you fail? No, sir, no, ma'am. You know why Brother Swaggart failed and was brought down? This is a fact. Brother Wilkerson came to him. Brother Frank, you've probably read this. Brother Wilkerson came to him and said the Lord told him that there was some sin in his life and he needed to get that taken care of. And he rejected what he said. You say, you're talking out of line, preacher. This is truth. He rejected what Brother Wilkerson said. You know what? There was a God in heaven loved Brother Jimmy Swaggart so much that he come to Brother Wilkerson. What's his first name? David Wilkerson came to Brother David Wilkerson and spoke to him, said, go talk to Brother Swaggart, and he did. And you know what he done? He ignored. He disregarded what God said through Brother Wilkerson. You know what that was probably? Pride. You know what I believe? I believe if Brother Swaggart had come to his congregation of hundreds of
Lord, thousands of people that followed him. And I want to tell you something. He preached and still preaches the uncompromised word of God, and it is truth. Don't you ever take away from the word because of man's failure. I can fail you, but this word I'm preaching will not. I don't stand behind this pulpit a perfect man, but I stand here preaching you the truth by his word. How many knows that this morning? Brother Swaggart found himself fallen, exposed to what was going on in his life. I believe he'd have come to that church and said, I've got a weakness in my life, and I need God to help me. I believe God would have restored him and never been brought out. How many knows that? That's my speculation. But I'm talking about neglect and ignoring and disregarding what was said. Be not deceived. As God is not mocked, and he finds himself this day repentant, and God has restored. What's that mean to me? I believe Brother Swaggart is restored. You can believe whatever you want to, but we're serving a God that will forgive you and I, no matter what we've done. If I could stand here perfect, I could condemn you, but I can't do that. I'm saying this morning, we're going to have to take the more earnest heed. Let that flag raise up and say, what have I heard? You say, preacher, I don't know what I've heard. I don't know if it's truth or not. Listen, God's word is truth. His word is truth. Praise God. There was a situation happened in neglect, and I guess I'm talking a lot about neglecting what God's doing and what he's saying. We can find some times in this Bible, we're going to read here just in a minute, of some times of folks that have neglected this salvation. I say this again. I would like to preach you a message on the victory. Boy, y'all should have been here a couple Sunday nights on miracles. That's a good one, wasn't it, church? Not me, that was him. He performed some miracles here that night. Now, that was a message we could shout with. You said, preacher, give us some of them good shouting messages. Well, when we get things lined up, we'll have something to shout about. How many knows that this morning? We find here today that this particular scripture over here, I'm going to show you a scripture that he said to Ezekiel. Now, this scripture in Ezekiel is, in my opinion, Ezekiel 33:9. I just found this the other day, and actually this morning is when I found it. And this is encouraging to me. He said to Ezekiel, let's go ahead. Let me get Ezekiel here real quick, 33. How many's glad for salvation? He made a way, didn't he? Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 33. Praise God. God is so good to me. Aren't you glad for the goodness of the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let me find Ezekiel. I'm losing it here. Praise God. You think maybe the devil don't want you to hear this? He said to Ezekiel, that you know what? I'm not defeated this morning. Ezekiel 33:9. What happens when you try to move close to God? Anybody ever felt any resistance? I've been in this long enough. I'm not going to let the small things hinder me. I don't mean that boastfully. It's time we don't let the small things hinder us. Verse 8 in Ezekiel 33 says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, and if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked, from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will be required upon thine hand. Now, I believe that's direct to the messenger. He's talking to Ezekiel, but I believe he's talking to every man or woman that stands behind the pulpit and proclaims the gospel. If we don't tell you the truth, your blood's applied to my hands. You say, I don't think that's true. I believe it is. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. What's that mean to me? I remember as a young person standing. I tell you what I remember. I was just a big old teenage boy. And as a preacher come through the congregation, come through this country, and he's passed away now. And when he came through, he was anointed of God to preach the gospel. And Brother Ellen, I never will forget, as a teenage boy, I wasn't doing a lot wrong. But it seemed like every time I was in the service, the first thing I wanted to do was go to this altar. Wasn't saying that I was backslid every time, but I found something. You know why? Because I was hungry for God. Are you hungry this morning? Are you dissatisfied where we're at? Sometimes we find ourselves going to make things just a little bit easy for us. If Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 says this, Felix says this to Paul. He said, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. When it's convenient to serve the Lord, I'll call. I want to ask you to stand with us. I shared a story a few months back with my uncle. Up in his 90s, if they could get a song for us this morning. Up in his 90s, and he'd fade in and fade out and go into coma and come out. And I went to my uncle in the hospital, my dear old Uncle Ed, like a grandpa to me. And I know I shared this not too long back, but I want to share it again. Felix said to Paul, he said, well, when it comes convenient, I'll call you. One place we'll find it. In one case, they didn't have time. They'd bought some land, had a new wife and things. Just not time for God. I'm going to ask again. Have you neglected and ignored this great salvation? Preacher, I got saved when I was a kid. Are we walking in the light today? Or is other things crowded about us? My uncle, as he was coming back to himself, and I just happened to get there in his room, and he was very alert, and I said, got to talking to Uncle Ed, and I was close to my uncle. And the Lord put it on my heart to talk to him about his salvation. I said, Uncle Ed, I said, have you ever been saved? And he said, no, I can't. And as he said, I can't, I said, why can't you? And he said, I can't read and I can't write. Brother Frank, if I could have got the devil by the throat and had the authority to kill him, I'd have took him right there. He had lied and deceived my uncle for 80-something years about him being saved. And maybe you're here this morning and the devil's just been lying to you. You know what? One of the first things the devil says to us, that you can't live it. And you know that's another one of them partial half-truths. You can't live it. But by the grace of God and his strength and greater is he that's within me, you and I can be a born-again, blood-bought Christian. Have we neglected, and how shall we escape? Let's bow our heads. Father, today, thank you for this service. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk and preach your word one more time. Lord, as I've given today what was on my heart this morning, Lord, I just pray, God, that someone would hear and hold close and take the more earnest heed to what we've heard about what a wonderful Savior you are this day. Lord, touch lives in this place this morning, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. As they begin to sing, I never had the opportunity to hear my uncle ask the Lord into his heart But I have that hope. Is it worth putting off and waiting? No, it's not. How about it this morning? Have you let things slip in your relationship with the Lord? Would you come? Praise God.